In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, consider your place in life. Those are the words that we just read from the Small Catechism. Consider your place in life. Those are fascinating words because when we consider our lives, which we are constantly doing, where is it that we oftentimes tend to look? When we want to measure our success or our failures, when we want to judge our righteousness or our unrighteousness, when we want to evaluate our own self-worth, where do we look? Well, we look at the people around us, don't we? How successful am I relative to my coworker, to my classmate, to other people who are my age? How righteous am I compared to my neighbor? Am I as good as him? Am I as compassionate as her? When I want to know my own worth, I don't put my life under a microscope. I put someone else's life under a microscope, and I tend to see then how I compare to them. This is our natural way of operating in life. When we consider our lives, we immediately look to the lives of others to see where we stand. But that's not where the Catechism would lead us, is it? It doesn't say consider your place in life relative to those around you. No, what did we just say? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. So let's do that tonight. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So I ask you, what do you trust in this life the most? In whom do you put your trust? When it comes to your financial security, when it comes to your physical health, when it comes to your emotional support. On the flip side, what do you fear the most in life? Do you fear the wrath and judgment of God most? And because of that, then, do everything in your power to avoid all sin at every cost? Do you expect only good from God in every situation? Or do you worry and doubt and complain? What is the one thing in your life that if it were to be taken from you, you would just become completely undone? And if that thing is not God, then that thing is your God. And maybe it can save you. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. This means that we should fear and love God, that we do not use his name to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, or use it to practice witchcraft, but call upon God's name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. So I ask you, is the Lord's name and is his word evident in your daily speech and conduct? Or do you curse, speak carelessly, and misuse God's name? Do you keep all of the vows that you have made in your life in God's name? Have you kept your confirmation vow? Have you kept your marriage vows? Are you diligent and sincere in your prayers? Or is your prayer life lazy, bored, and distracted? Do you trust that your Lord God will always answer your prayers according to his good and gracious will? Or do you really not pray that much because you really don't think you will? The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and His word, but gladly hear and learn it. Do I despise the word of God by neglecting or paying little or no attention to it when it is read or preached? Do you attend the worship services in Christ's church faithfully or sporadically? And even when you are here, do you sometimes wish you were someplace else? Do you pray for your pastor and other people who preach and teach the Word of God? And do you support the life and ministry of God's church with the gifts that God Himself has given you? What is your attitude toward worship in general? The fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. We should fear and love God that we do not dishonor or anger our parents or others in authority, but honor, serve, and obey them and give them love in love and respect. What is your attitude toward those in authority over you? Have you honored not only your father and mother, but teachers, employers, supervisors, government leaders, receiving them as gifts which God has put in authority over you? Have you been angry, stubborn, disrespectful, insubordinate to those in authority over you? Do you obey the laws wherever you are, the laws of your city, your state, and your country, trusting that those are laws that have been put in place for good order and for your benefit? If you're a parent, do you faithfully represent God the Father in disciplining and caring for and catechizing your children? Or do you exasperate them and exhaust them rather than bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. This means we should fear and love God that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every physical need. Are you just an angry person who can't stand to be around other people? You've got enough problems in your own life. You certainly don't have enough time or energy or compassion to deal with theirs. Have we protected the lives of those around us, including the lives of the unborn? Do I hate anyone? Have I called anyone a fool or disrespected anyone? Have I lost my temper? Have I injured my neighbor by my thoughts, words, or actions? Do you hold grudges or resentment against your neighbor? Do you ignore their cries for help? Are you callous toward the general needs of those around you? The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. We should fear and love God that we lead a sexually pure and decent life and that husband and wife love and honor each other. Are you in a sexual relationship with someone who is not your spouse? Do you look at others lustfully, committing adultery with them in your heart? Do you dishonor marriage by ridiculing or mocking it? Have you engaged in other kinds of sexual immorality, allowing impure thoughts to occupy and run your imagination? Seventh commandment, you shall not steal. We should fear and love God that we do not take our neighbor's money or property or get it in a dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his property and means of income. Have you cheated anyone? Have you sought to get something you didn't earn? Do you take care of the things that are yours? Do you pay what you owe? Do you return what you borrow? Do you respect other people's property? Do you give generously? Are you a generous person with your time and your money? Or are you selfish and stingy and greedy? Are you faithful in your numerous vocations? Or do you rob God's glory by standing idly by with your life? The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This means we should fear and love God that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him or give him a bad name, but defend him, speak well of him, and take his words and actions in the kindest possible way. Put the best construction on everything you see and hear. Do you? Or are you bitter? Do you gossip? Do you like hearing juicy rumors? Do you take pleasure in talking about the faults and mistakes of others? Are you quick to defend false accusations? Do you judge others when you do not have the authority to do so? Do you speak the truth in love? So that at all times, to explain everything in the best possible way. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. We should fear and love God that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's house or inheritance or get it in a way that only appears right, but do all we can to help him keep it. Are you content with the life God has given you? Or do you seek to satisfy the appetites and the desires of your sinful flesh at the expense of others? Are you resentful or envious of those who have what you do not? The tenth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, workers, animals, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This means we should fear and love God that we do not force or entice away our neighbor's spouse, workers, or animals, but urge them to stay and do their duty. Do you do it? Or are you disgruntled with your spouse, or your family, or with your vocation, or with your job, or the employees or employers that God has given you? Have you done anything to break up a friendship or a marriage? Have you encouraged someone to be unfaithful to their spouse or their family or their vocation or their job or their employers or their employees? Are you contentious? Have you encouraged disharmony in your congregation or in your family or at your workplace? Do you manipulate other people, try to control them for your own benefit? Have you done everything you can to mend and strengthen the relationships in your life? These are God's 10 holy commands. And when we consider our place in life, not according to how do we compare to other people, but when we consider our life according to the law of God, the conclusion is clear. We are guilty. The Lord convicts us of this by his commandments. He has to. We would never believe it on our own, because by nature we are self-justifiers, always looking for ways to create loopholes for ourselves or to think more highly of ourselves than anyone else. So God gives us his law. And he says, stop looking at others and consider your life according to it. And our self-justification stops. And all we can say is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But God convinces us that we are sinners so that when the gospel follows, and it must follow, this message, this gospel message that freely proclaims that Jesus has come to save sinners. The Lord convicts us that we are sinners so that when you hear the gospel message that he has come for sinners, then you can just as confidently say, Jesus has come to save me. Think about it. If Jesus were sitting next to you this evening, listening as I read through the Ten Commandments, he could have sat through that entire list with a 100% clear conscience. Never once did he ever fail to keep God's law or a command or a requirement that God gave. He never once failed to honor God and love his neighbor. He perfectly avoids every single sin so that he could take your sin and mine, your failures and mine, your lovelessness and anger and greed and lust and discontent, all of it, and make it his own. He suffers your judgment and he suffers my punishment so that you and I never would. Friends, consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments and know that you are a sinner. And then hear the gospel message that is just as much for you. That it was precisely for sinners that Jesus came. Yes, that mark on your forehead reminds you that you are dying. It reminds you that the day is coming when you will have to stand before your judge, but it is not put on your head so that you would be sad or afraid, but that so you would look forward to that day with hope. Because while it's true that everyone is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, the judgment for your sin has already happened. 2,000 years ago on a cross, your sin and mine was judged and sentenced and crucified once and for all. And so the door to heaven is now open wide for you, all because of Jesus. Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. We should do that. But by faith, we also get to consider our lives according to Christ and live knowing that we are baptized into his name, that we are wrapped in his righteousness, that we are forgiven and loved by God on his account, that we are comforted, renewed, restored, redeemed, with the promise of a future resurrection. This is your life according to Christ, today and forever. God grant it. Amen.